Brian asked me to fill in for him Wednesday, so I'm sorry you can blame him. But I did call Rick and got some pointers, and he mentioned that the theme is to defend the love for morality. And we can look at one book, in all honesty, in the Bible, which is the book of Jude, the letter from Jude, and see that we're to defend the faith. And then as we continue to read on, we see that there has to be a love for morality to defend the faith. So if you want to be turning to Jude, that's where we're going to be starting. We're going to go through the book of Jude. But part of defending the love for morality is realizing that we're to be moral, right? That's where you have to start. You have to love morality and be different. But it's hard to be different. We're told to be a light to the world as Christians. We're told that we are to not be of the world. And so that is fearful for a lot of us, and me included, to stand up to friends and family, other people within our culture, and be different, not give in to what they're doing. We have a lot of people that go off to college seeking friendships, find the wrong friends, maybe join the wrong clubs. And friendship is a big part of life, but there's a certain point where we have to be the leaders in those friendships rather than the followers in those friendships. Because we're still in the world and we still have a duty to bring others to Christ as Christians. So Jude spells it out pretty quick as to what his purpose is in verse 3. He says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." So originally he was going to say, hey, let's talk about salvation. But then he started hearing about what his brethren were doing, what they were allowing in their group, their clique, I guess, as Christians, and he got worried. We see this in verse 4 when he says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So the word lewdness means unchaste, obscene, immoral, okay? And this was prevalent in the Roman culture, which was the dominant culture at this time. We see public places of nudity and lewdness and just terrible situations, and very hard uphill battle for Christians to stand up to their friends in those situations. Okay? Verses 5 through 7, we'll continue reading, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, He has reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and cities around them, in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. In verses 5 through 7, we read that, hey, I got you out of these places, and then I destroyed those places. I want you to stay out of them, okay? Let's stay out of those situations. And then he continues and says, because just like those people were lewd and disgusting, they also were dreamers of defiling flesh, and they rejected authority, and they spoke evil of dignitaries. Those things we see right now. Right now those things are happening. We're not supposed to be like them. We're not supposed to be these lewd, terrible people that don't respect authority. We're to be God's people. God is authority. Okay, let's skip on down to verse 11. "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These people have no compass. Okay, they just get, they're wishy-washy. They join whatever crowd is best suits them. Okay, they serve only themselves. They're weak. Verse 16, if we continue on, verse 14 and 15, we see that Enoch prophesied about these. But then in verse 16, we see that they're grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they have, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, they're complainers, they're grumblers, they're lustful, they're flatterers for their own gain. They're not saying nice things to be nice, okay? They're doing it because it benefits them. They're trying to get that promotion maybe, so they're kissing up to the boss, okay? Verse 17 through 19, he mentions that we are warned by the apostles of Jesus Christ about these people. Okay? But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. We talked about sensuality in class today. They like the things that appeal to the senses, touch, sight, taste. Okay? They're very physical type people. This is not the way a Christian is to be. If it were, then we wouldn't be warned about them being bad people, right? That's the logic behind it. But instead, in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy for the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. We're supposed to judge people, right? We have to make that distinction. It's not a hasty judgment, it's a biblical judgment. You know, let's continue on in the verses. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. We are to be lovers of morality and be able to defend it. That's what this month, I believe, was the topic. And we can't do it unless we ourselves are moral. And at times, being moral means you have to be different. And by being different, sometimes we have to stand up to those we respect the most, maybe. We've talked about that in our classes, too, about some of these people. Joshua, for instance. He was only one of 12. He was a young man at that time. He had to stand up to these other men who may have been older than him. He had to be the mature one. He had to be the one that everyone didn't believe, maybe. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll let you read it on your own because we're out of time, but both of those chapters are full of how we are to gird up our loins and be different from the world. The people in this building tonight are probably very different because y'all are here tonight, rather than being out in the world, watching television, whatever it is that our friends may be doing at this time. That aren't honoring God. Okay? So I know that, as the phrase goes, I'm preaching to the choir. But maybe there is one here that has not obeyed the gospel and needs to obey the gospel. Read about it in the Bible. That's the hearing part. Then when you believe in it, that belief leads to a confession, to repentance, and then finally obedience in baptism to what God commanded us to do in the washing away of our sins. If you are in need of this, in a moment we'll lead a song and we'll ask that you come forward. But let's say that you are a baptized member of the body of Christ. Maybe you haven't been a leader. Maybe you haven't been standing up. Maybe you haven't been a lover of morality. You need to start defending that. You need to start being that person that God commands us to be. We're here for you. We all have shortcomings. We've all messed up. But you don't have to stay in that state. You can get back right with God. And we ask that you do that also as we stand and sing.